Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Did you ever ruin your own surprise and then you felt like a giant jerk for doing it?
I can remember very vividly when I was, I don't know, a preteen or just about 13 years old or whatever, and I found my Christmas gifts and I did the let me poke a hole in the corner of it, and I figured out what all the stuff was, and then I was really bummed that there wasn't like extra stuff that surprised me after.
I don't love surprises. I really don't.
I love them.
I'm not that kind of person. I'm too anal and, you know, focused for that.
Mm-hmm.
But last week was my 20th wedding anniversary, and my husband had made it abundantly clear that he did not get me a gift, that we were not to exchange gifts.
Oh.
We have to save money. My older daughter is going into her junior year.
Right.
Got to get ready for college.
All very practical, real choices.
Right, of course. And, we have things around the house. All of it. You know, he had a litany.
I'm also living a life. Yes, I understand.
Yeah. And I said, okay. And I know my husband well enough that he is so practical that this wasn't something I should argue with him about. And truthfully, I don't need anything. Uh-huh. It's if I want something, I go out and get it usually.
But did you get him something? I mean, it's nice to give something. It's
I
nice
did.
To get something.
I did. I got him a special watch that
right.
I had ordered over a year ago.
Yeah.
But I was still going to give it to him. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no matter what he said.
Right.
Of
exactly.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I wasn't
yeah.
expecting anything in return.
Okay. So he had fooled you or just destroyed your hopes and dreams.
He destroyed my hopes and dreams. And
yeah.
I had complained to every single one of my friends. And I had said to them, I'm like, he's not getting me anything. Like, the whole, like, and they were like, do you want us to talk to him? I go, absolutely not.
Right.
I go,
That's
I don't need anything. Right. I'm like,
okay.
I have plenty of jewelry. I don't need more jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine. So, the night before our anniversary, he is taking forever to get home from work. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm texting him. And he's like, I'm late. I'm just running late at work. And I'm like, oh. He's like, I'll leave in like a half hour. So I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. So a half hour goes by. So instead of like bothering him again, because I know that'll annoy him.
Yeah.
I do what any logical wife would do.
Okay.
I pick up my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I go to text messages and I search to see where his phone is like a crazy person.
You locate him.
I do the locator thing that
where
we have shared.
Where are you? Let me stalk this and time this out.
I mean, there are plenty nights where I watch him drive home. So I can see exactly where he is. It's usually so like, when do I start getting dinner ready?
Yeah, okay.
Like that kind of thing. I'm not just a psychopath that stalks my husband.
Well, okay.
So all of a sudden I see that I go, where is he going? I'm like, why is he taking that way? And I go, oh my gosh, he's at a gelato shop. I go, what the heck is he doing?
What is he doing?
At an ice cream shop.
I mean, he could have been meeting somebody else at that ice cream shop. That's scandalous. The day before your wedding anniversary?
I have pasta to boil. And I need to know where you are. I'm
this
hungry.
Is garbage. Did you call him up immediately and demand to know where he was?
Then I realized that the little tiny dot is about a few inches to the left of the ice cream shop.
Yeah.
I go, oh no, that's the jewelry shop.
Oh.
I'm like, that's our jeweler. And it all came crashing down. And I knew that he had gotten me something. So when he walked in the door, I had to put on my best poker face.
Yeah.
And I was like,
How long did that last?
Hey, honey.
Right.
You know? And I didn't
say anything. I'm late, hon. Oh, no big deal.
Right.
Now it's no problem.
No
now
problem.
You're fine.
Right. Right. Unless he walked in the door with some gelato, then I would have been like, you idiot. Like, what are you doing? So I didn't say a word. And then the next day, sure enough, here comes my gift.
Yeah.
And I felt so guilty that I knew that I had to tell him. I had to confess.
You didn't fake it.
No. So I said, I go, last night, I saw you were there. I knew that there was a gift.
And what did he say? How did he take it?
He was just like, what is wrong with you? I go, I don't know. I don't actually know what's wrong with me. I go, this is just the way I am.
Let's
and he's
settle
like, well,
it over some gelato. We'll both feel better.
Absolutely.
It's a great place to be, a great place to live, a great place to work.
He's talking about space.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, that is Butch Wilmore. He and Sonny Williams, after 9 months being stranded in space, will come home today. They went to space on an 8-day mission. There were some technical issues. And finally, today is the day they're coming home a whole lot longer later.
I mean, just remember the beginning and this story with Boeing and Starliner. And it was supposed to be such a big deal. It was their first attempt with astronauts. They get up there and they're just like, nope, you need another ride home.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing worked out for them after that. And finally coming home with SpaceX. It's pretty wild how it worked out.
That's true. Trending is powered by Cricket. Need a new phone? Switch to Cricket and get a Samsung Galaxy A15 5G for free. It's all the latest and greatest tech plus super fast 5G service. Welcome to Cricket Nation. So there's a lot of concerns that go along with this. Mm-hmm. And Sonny Williams, they have been the most positive people I've ever seen in my entire life.
There's a lot of psychological testing before you go to space.
No kidding. And Sonny was getting a lot of concern because they were saying that she looked too thin, and here's what she had to say about that.
There's some rumors around outside there that I'm losing weight and stuff. No, I'm actually right at the same amount. Folks in space, you know, their heads look a little bit bigger because the fluid evens out along the body.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that if I go to space, I'm skinnier?
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
Well, there's no gravity, right? Oh. So then, you know, it spaces out in the body differently. So, I mean, basically what she's saying is it's somewhere else. If you don't see it in my face, it's gone somewhere else. And as soon as she lands, it'll start shifting right back to there.
Well, speaking of when they land,
yeah.
I was thinking about it. Like, imagine, and this is not the same, but when I had my ACL and meniscus surgery, they ended up having to have, they had to have surgery on both.
I heard
legs.
What you said. It's the exact same thing as going to space for
it's
9
not.
Months.
It's not. But I remember waking up and not having the use of my legs anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a jarring feeling. And I think about it, after 9 months in space, what happens? And here's one of the astronaut experts to talk about it.
You kind of lose your balance. That comes back within 2 or 3 days. For the extended missions, really it's getting that muscle mass back, getting that bone density back so you don't feel as frail, you don't hurt yourself. You have to be very careful.
I mean,
that's why people are holding them up when they come out of the capsules when they land.
All right.
You know, they're carrying them to it, basically. I mean, they have to work on a treadmill for like 3 hours a day every day when they're in space.
Really?
But it still doesn't, you know, that's just to combat it, really.
I was watching the videos of them. They look like they were doing exercise in some weird spaceship room.
It's like required. It's part of it. So it's like 2 hours in the morning and another 2 hours in the afternoon. And like you have to do it all the time. And again, it's just to combat those things. I know these things because I'm a space geek.
Oh, yeah.
Big time space geek.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I don't like to work out anymore because I just like to keep myself frail.
Right. And, probably not going to be an astronaut.
In case I have to go to space, I come back, I'll be well prepared for not being able to use my legs. All right. Here's the big question.
You'll get up there and immediately tell the other astronauts, you know, I had knee surgery one time. And three of them will be like, oh, same.
Yeah.
They'll be like, same thing then.
You just get back from space.
Yeah.
You've been there for all these months.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing you're going to eat?
Well, everything you've been eating has been coming out of a tube, right? So It's been like flavored toothpaste. I think I'm going to do the same thing I would do like if I had a hangover. I'm going to need like, you know, a Whopper meal deal or a pizza. And I'm going to need it right away. And I'd eat that whole thing, probably throw it up 10 minutes later.
Well, I was about to say, I don't think they're allowed to just eat like that when they land.
No, don't put rules on me when you screwed up my ride for the last 9
all
months.
All right, fine.
You're gonna, no rules. I eat whatever I want.
You're good with getting sick afterwards. You're like, give it all to me and then
we'll see.
Yes. I think I'd want a pizza too.
Yes.
Remember when you were young, and if you were called a dork or a nerd or a geek, you would be so offended?
It was terrible.
Yes.
Even the first time that you heard it and you had no idea what it actually meant, You were just like, you were so upset.
And at some point, over the last, I don't know, 3 decades, it's become cool to be a nerd, a geek, or a dork. I think it's because of, that show, Why Am I Drawing a Blank?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I think it's
Big
always...
Bang Theory.
Okay. I mean, I think it's always cool to become an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to be unique in nature is great.
Right.
We recognize that now.
But now there's classifications.
Okay.
So one guy called it the Grand Unified Theory of Nerd. And it's classifying the differences amongst being a nerd, a geek, or a dork.
He sounds like some sort of presidential nerd. So.
So here's this comedian. His name is Don McMillan. And he explains what the difference is. And he does it pretty accurately.
Okay.
It takes three things to be a nerd. You have to be smart, socially awkward, and obsessed. All three of those things, and you are, in fact, a nerd.
There you go. Smart, socially awkward, and obsessed. You are, in fact, a nerd.
Yeah, if you get obsessed about a subject matter that other people are kind of like, that's, you know, fringe or whatever, then you're a nerd.
Geeks, on the other hand, they really are just smart and obsessed, because they... They're like into comic books, comic book geeks, Star Trek geeks. They get dressed up. They do cosplay. They go out and they intermingle. Not nerds. We stay at home.
Yep, it's true. Geeks are the ones that are more excited about what they're into, and they want to go out and show it to the world, and they like to be out in public.
Okay.
They have no social awkwardness. They are very much social people.
Okay, okay. And what about a dork?
Now, if you're smart and socially awkward, you're a dork.
So you can be both.
You can be a combination.
You can have some overlap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because I was thinking about it. I'm like, the one thing that they all have in common, they're all smart. They're all smart people.
I also heard the word obsessed.
Well,
obsessed.
If you get obsessed,
if you're infatuated about something,
yeah, you're a nerd or you're a geek.
Yeah,
and then
okay.
It has to do whether or not you like to go into public and whether you're socially awkward or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play nerdy, geeky, or dorky. Go ahead, Raven. Give me some things that you're into, and I will classify you.
I would love to just have more time to do puzzles. I love puzzles.
Oh.
I'm really good at puzzles. Like, when I watch Survivor and everything and the puzzles are on, I'm like, no, go this way, do this. Like, that's me. I love puzzles.
But
all sorts of
different
types of puzzles.
Do you want to do those puzzles by yourself, or do you want to do those puzzles with other people?
Pretty much, I'll be honest, by myself. They can watch me do them, but which I know wouldn't be very entertaining for them, but that way I wouldn't have to be in conflict with them over it.
You're a dork.
Yeah,
you're
probably.
You're a dork.
Probably.
What a dorky thing. You mean it from the bottom of your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Everybody complains about playing Monopoly. I like Monopoly. I totally like Monopoly. I like to buy everything and dominate and put you out. And it's not enough for you to say that you've had enough. No, I will take every one of your properties and put you in bankruptcy. I will punish you in Monopoly.
Unfortunately, a psychopath isn't on this list, Raven.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you want to do that with other people? I guess you do, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be there.
I'm gonna for you to take all their property?
Yeah, I mean, right. There has to be a winner and a loser, right.
I'm going to say that's nerdy.
Yeah.
That's a nerdy thing to do.
Yeah, and diabolical, too.
Awesome.
It's a little bit in there.
Yeah, 1-800-330-9999. What is the thing you enjoy doing? And we're going to classify you. Are you nerdy, geeky, or dorky? Wear that badge of honor. They're calling it the Grand Unified Theory of Nerd. It classifies the differences amongst being a nerd, a geek, or a dork.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, all those things can be attractive on surface, too, you know, depending on exactly what it is that you're obsessed with and you're into, Anna.
Right. So a nerd is smart, socially awkward, and obsessed.
Uh-huh.
A geek is just smart and obsessed, but they like to go out and still have lives and mingle with other people.
Almost promote the thing that they're into.
Absolutely. And dorks are smart and socially awkward. And the truth of the matter is nobody really wants to be a dork.
Here's the thing I wanted to do. Remember when Disney opened up that fake starship spaceship hotel?
For Star Wars,
well,
yeah.
You would go into like a back room and then they would be like, whoa, you're in a starship.
Yeah.
I wanted to do that so bad.
Okay.
But they wanted like, you know, $5,000 for two nights in a place the size of a dorm.
That's
so
why
I
went out of business. But that's nerdy. That's a nerdy thing to do.
Yeah, that's nerdy. They would have given you an outfit and everything, and then you choose your own path while you're in the hotel.
The fact that you wanted to do that in public might be geeky.
I still want to do it.
What is the thing that you do, and we'll decide? Are you nerdy, geeky, or dorky? Mark?
I build puppets.
Oh, you are?
Hold on. Do you like to show people puppets? You love to do puppet shows, correct?
I do puppet shows.
Yeah,
yes.
All right.
And he builds puppets.
Geek. Totally geeky.
Yeah, it's geeky.
It's a totally geeky thing to do.
Yeah, it's geeky. Nerd, too, because it requires a real skill. Nerdy geeky. Geeky nerd. You're a geeky nerd.
What's your favorite puppet?
My favorite puppet's Animal from the Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have a puppet of yourself? Like, is that like a case study thing they make you do?
No, I built a puppet of Sylvester Stallone, though.
Okay, right.
That's incredible.
Well,
that's normal.
I mean, if you see yourself as Sylvester Stallone, that's even better.
Thank you very much.
Mark, do you ever have conversations with yourself and the puppet when you're by yourself?
No.
Oh, okay. Right.
Have you ever dreamt of one of the puppets giving you an answer?
Yeah, well, with Sly, I have talked to him a little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, might need a doctor.
Yeah,
all right.
That's great. Congratulations on being a geek nerd.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Audrey, how about you? What's your weird hobby? We're going to decide if it's geeky, nerdy, or dorky.
I am in my 50s. I love to color. I have a collection of coloring books. I enjoy coloring.
Adult coloring books have very much become popular.
Oh, it's huge. My grandmother-in-law, big colorer.
So I would say, is it dorky, geeky, or nerdy?
It's easily dorky.
I'm going to agree with you. It's like dork. Like, you're a dork. It's okay. It's all right to be a little bit dorky. It kind of makes you quirky and fun.
Of course, it's nice to be dorky. You can be a dork over in the corner.
Yeah.
But if I walk in and you're coloring and you're, I'm in the midst of a regular day, like, you're a dork.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I love it.
Like, if I walk into the DMV and you're in the corner coloring, waiting for your chance to get called up.
Dork.
Dork. Yeah.
Dork. But I may not. So would it help if I'm not in the corner? Because I'm okay. I'll be right in the middle of everybody.
Right. I don't know why we put you in the corner doing it.
Right.
Or like, you're ashamed or whatever.
And let's be honest. If you're at the DMV and you're coloring, you probably work there. You're
in a better spot than the rest of us anyways, mentally. Like, you found your zen. So you're right.
Steve, how about you? What's your hobby? We're going to tell you if you're dorky, geeky, or nerdy.
I still kick around the old sandbag, the hacky sack.
Oh.
That's a...
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah. I don't know.
I got to think about this. Dorky, geeky, or nerdy?
Geeky, nerdy.
You have not seen me do a foot stall, a head stall. You haven't seen it.
You're right.
My kids were impressed.
You're right. I haven't seen any of those things, and I could live the entirety of the rest of my life without seeing those things.
But... What about the jester?
Nope. I'm good. Don't even know what that one is. Thank you.
I don't know. It's like rubbernecking a car crash. It's like you just... You just got to look. You got to see what's happening.
At first, I really did not want to look, but they're kind of everywhere now at this point, so it's hard to not see it.
And I want to preface this by saying, I don't care.
What are you going to say?
It's not right or wrong or anything like that. I don't care what
they're
your opinion
adults.
Is.
They're adults. They can do whatever they want.
Exactly. It's just fascinating to me. So Bill Belichick is the former Patriots head coach. He's 72 years old, and he's always been known for being serious, no nonsense.
Next question. That's how he was, always.
I mean, I remember watching him on the sidelines, and I know very little about sports, to be honest, but being like, that's the guy that has no personality and is mean. That's how I always interpreted him.
I mean, really, that was his persona. That's how he came off, yeah.
Right. But now he's dating Jordan Hudson. She is a 24-year-old former beauty queen.
They met over a philosophy book on the airline.
They sat next to each other on a plane. And they struck up a conversation. She was a big fan of his, I guess. That's what he said. And he signed the book that she was reading.
He had input on this philosophy book that she was reading there and said something deep and introspective. And look at that.
I mean, and let's be honest. There is certainly nothing new about older gentlemen starting to date much younger women.
But Bill Belichick!
But the fascinating part about this is that she's transformed his persona.
Right.
And that's what makes it crazy. Because... Now he's the head coach at UNC, and he wrote in an email to everybody, whenever they send him an email to CC Jordan, his girlfriend.
I think that's just because, like, you know, like when your grandparents, they don't know how to work their cell phone or anything like that.
He doesn't know how to use email?
Right, just send it through her. She understands it now. I mean, he's not going to trust these other people to handle his persona anyways. And I mean, look at it. That thing on the beach?
Well, so
what's going on there?
Then yesterday, there's these pictures that the paparazzi got of them, and they're doing beach yoga, but not like they're standing next to each other and doing child's pose. No.
No, like, this is intricate stuff.
He's hoisting her, like, Dirty Dancing style with his feet. It's the weirdest thing.
The only thing I can describe it as is it's like Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, on the beach.
And also, me and producer Julie immediately tried to reenact it.
How'd that go?
We're going to post the picture up on our Instagram at Anna and Raven right now so you can see. Poor Julie, I threw her into a desk by accident. It was not easy.
You know what? But I mean, they're the new interesting couple. That's what you're paying attention to, right?
But the truth of the matter is I think they truly are in love and they love each other. Producer Justin, his brother, saw them out at a bar and took a sneaky pic. And they're sitting next to each other at a bar having dinner. And they look like just a normal cute couple.
I don't know.
I stared at that picture for a long time.
You really analyzed.
I really looked at it.
Like,
and I'm
wait a minute.
Nah,
there could be love in
love
this.
There,
there could be.
Yes.
Right.
And I was thinking about it. Maybe that's the new relationship goals. These are the new relationship goals.
I have a list of things that they should do next. I was thinking that if they reenact Rose and Jack on the front of the Titanic.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Obviously the Titanic is, you know, we know where the Titanic is, right? But if they could find a different ship and maybe get that same photographer that did the beach photos, right? Beauty and the Beast Disney photo shoot.
I mean, it's kind of accurate.
It totally works, right? Yeah. It totally works.
She does look like Belle.
Finish one of those 72-ounce porterhouse steaks at one of those restaurants. Like, if you eat the whole steak in a certain amount of time, you get the free T-shirt and you don't have to pay.
I'm hungry.
Imagine if they did that together.
That would be awesome.
And then Blue Origin space launch.
They should go together, hold hands. They should hold hands the whole time.
The whole time. And the coup de grace, the final one. This is when you know your next level, like he could run for president.
Yeah.
Dinner with Taylor Swift.
When they have dinner with Taylor Swift.
Oh, it's over.
Oh, and Travis comes. It's the four of them having dinner together.
It's completely. No Blake, no Ryan. They can stay home. But you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
If your succulents keep dying and your houseplants don't have a chance, good news. It's Katie, the garden lady. You can follow her on TikTok, social media, Yellow Trout Lily.
You know what, Katie? I'm going to be honest with you. You know, just the same way as plants can bring you joy, and I get that, right? But I carry around guilt, Katie, because my houseplants aren't doing well anyways. It doesn't matter what kind of effort I put in. I just can't do it.
Why do Raven and I keep killing plants? What's happening?
It's a terrible guilt.
There's a lot of different factors that go into keeping a houseplant alive. First and foremost is light conditions. So all plants need a certain amount of bright light. They love a spacious sort of window. They like to be near it. And not all plants want direct sunlight. So if you have like a east or west facing window where the sun rises or sets, the sun is stronger when it sets. And not all plants want to be in that like intense spotlight with the heat.
Mm.
So I understand the light thing, but here's what I'm struggling with.
Do you understand the light thing?
Well, they can't. Some of them don't want direct light. Some of them do. They're very finicky, these plants.
Right. Right. So you don't understand. You just, you know, you're taking a guess.
I have family members that keep buying me succulents and they keep saying you can't kill these. And I think to myself, why do you say that? Because like, oh, you're not supposed to water them a lot, but then they're still dead. And how often are you supposed to be watering these plants? Because my sister-in-law and my mom walk into my house and monitor my plants. And they are the only reason why they are managing to stay alive.
Yeah.
Succulents want to dry out completely between waterings, and it's okay to go as little as once a week, maybe once every 10 days. And they need to have drainage at the bottom. So if they're sitting in a cup with no drainage, that water is not evaporating. Mm. That could be rotting the roots from the bottom.
I can tell you right now, Katie, by Anna's face, something's drastically wrong with what's been going on with the plants. Maybe once a month have they been getting fed?
Oh, no. I've been like once a month I've been putting the water.
Right.
They say they don't water them often. I assume that meant like once a month.
Once every 30 days.
Right. Every 10 days.
Somebody should explain to us the cycle of time.
Right.
Well, the succulents are also very small, so it's the amount of water. So maybe like a half a cup for something small once every 10 days. And it has to be in that direct light. The succulents really like lots of full sunlight.
We're talking with Katie, the garden lady.
So my mom brought over on Sunday, it was our anniversary, so she brought us an orchid. And I said, Mom, stop. I don't want this. And she was like, Anna, on Sundays, 3 ice cubes. Is that a real thing?
There's no plant that wants freezing water.
Oh.
The ice cubes is a good visual representation of how much water you should be giving it. So it's even more beneficial to the plant if you leave the ice cubes out overnight, let them melt. That might be a fourth a cup of water. Orchids like to live in a bark instead of soil because they have sort of an open air root system.
Mm. What does that mean?
In the wild, orchids grow on trees. They don't grow in the ground. Sort of like air plants, they grow on other plants, but their root system is there sort of to anchor it to the tree. They're not looking for like nutrients in the soil. They're looking through the air and through the humidity.
I mean, you just taught me something, Katie.
I had no idea. I thought
That's
they just
wild.
Grew like flowers. I don't know.
Nope.
Japan or something.
Orchids are extremely specialized plants. That's what makes them so special. And, you know, the orchid is those beautiful leathery leaves at the bottom.
I mean, you could just tell that plants are her love language. The way that you talk about it, it's like this beautiful leathery leaf. She's like, the flower is just a flower, and that's just there for a minute. Like, she wants to love everything about the plant itself. It's so great.
Katie, the garden lady. You can follow her on social media, Yellow Trout Lily, which turns out is a kind of plant that blooms on her birthday. We thought it had to do with fishing. We were wrong.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Katie.
Anna and Raven, the struggle is realness.
You can feel the madness.
Okay, we are looking for the struggle is realness. That is our bracket this year for March Madness. And we're looking for things that happen to you that are annoying, but you got to live it. You got to survive it, right?
Things that suck.
All right, what do you think should make the bracket? Meredith, what do you think?
You can't remember your password.
That's a good one.
Oh, we're going to have to reset everything. Then I got to go through this 2-3-step verification. But I'm going to have to change it again in another 90 days. Terrible.
Not even when you can't remember your password, but your kids start texting you because they can't remember their passwords.
Oh, forget it, that. You're on your own.
Your brain can't handle it.
No.
I've come to the realization that my brain cannot handle passwords. And then when it suggests a password for you and it's just a string of letters and numbers, who selects that as an option?
Right, because you ain't going to remember it.
No.
So if you're not on your phone, you're never getting into this account again.
Exactly. What if I want to log in from my laptop or somewhere else? Nope, never. I'm going to remember CJ49 capital P lowercase k and then like an exclamation point.
Okay, yes, it's not pleasant. We agree.
Okay, Victor, how about you? What do you think we should have in the bracket for the struggle is realness?
Stepping in something wet and you only have your socks on.
The worst is when I'm in the other room. So, you know, automatic ice dispenser on the fridge. But they always stink. Well, no matter what fridge you have, I don't care. Your ice dispenser stinks. It never works good. You'll, like, get a cup. You'll fill it with some ice. You'll get some, and then you'll walk away. And 8 minutes later, you'll hear something fall in the kitchen. It's a piece of ice falling out of your ice machine. Now, you forget it's there. And you come through 20 minutes later or so when it's a nice big puddle and still a tiny piece of ice and you step in that. Oh, you just ruined my PJs. You ruined my house clothes.
The worst is when I have to get something in the garage. And I don't feel like putting my shoes on to go into the garage.
Yeah.
But the garage gets wet sometimes.
Oh, but you take the chance from time to time.
Oh, I take a chance all the time. And I think just because I'm walking on my toes,
yes,
you know, like tippy toes.
It'll
somehow
bother you less.
Right. Like, I'm going to avoid the fact that there's a puddle in the middle that I can't see.
Nope.
No. And that's the worst because that's like dirty tire water in your garage.
Those
now
socks are done.
Now you got to take them off before you go back inside to your clean floors.
Ariana, what do you say? What's a valid entry for the struggle is realness bracket?
No toilet paper.
It doesn't matter how old you are or where you are. When you go into a bathroom and there's no toilet paper, you panic.
You're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
What's your next move?
You have to ask the person next to you. You have to knock as, excuse me. And if you're by yourself,
you got to duck walk it.
You got to cover yourself and you have to just hopefully get a scoot into the next thing. Or, oh, it's awful. It's the worst thing. In my house, when we're out of toilet paper, I hate when I have to scream, guys! And it's like I'm left on an island begging somebody to go into the basement to get me toilet paper.
I mean, can nobody stock this toilet paper?
I don't understand. I don't understand why it's so hard for us to continue to do this.
Anderson, talk to me. Give me something that belongs on the struggle of realness bracket.
You get a stain on your shirt first thing in the morning, you're on your way to work.
Oh, gosh. And you just look like a bum the rest of the day.
You know it's there, and it kind of just dampens your whole mood because you think everybody's staring at that stain.
Right, it's the only thing they see.
Yeah.
I've got a shirt that I just recently washed, and I didn't realize that there was a stain. I didn't shout it. I didn't shout the stain, Anna.
Yeah.
I walked in here, and I didn't realize until I was in the right light, and it threw me off. How am I supposed to operate like that? I can't tuck it in.
Yeah. What do you do if there's a shirt you love that you get a stain on that the stain doesn't come out?
Yeah, you try two times, and then you got to throw it out.
I hate that. It's worst. Yeah.
But you can only try like twice, two, three times. Then you got to give it up.
Then you can only wear it around the house.
You got your favorite shirt, this fancy shirt, but you only wear it there.
Right. Go ahead. Make your nominations for the bracket. The struggle is realness.
Anna and Raven, the struggle is realness.
You can
March Madness is underway, but here it's all about the struggle is realness. Mm. And we are looking for competitors for the Elite Eight.
This is like, you know, when you've got something that happens in your everyday life, but it also ruins your entire life.
So far, we've had suggestions for stepping in something wet in just your socks, forgetting your password, which I think happens to everybody every single day of your life.
I had to reset my passwords when I walked in today for my work email because I couldn't get my phone to open it for some reason for the past, like, 3 weeks or whatever.
All right, what do you have? Wanda.
Oh, my gosh. When your check engine light comes on.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I heard somebody say the other day, I was listening on a conversation, and they said their check engine light's been on for 2 years. And I said, two years? I, like, thought to myself, at no point anything happened? Is it just pretend, or are you just living dangerously?
I feel like that's a thing you would never do with a modern vehicle. Right? Like, if it's an old car, that's one thing, because you just expect those lights to come on from time to time. With a new vehicle, like, I figure the whole thing is coming to an end.
There's nothing more infuriating than when the check engine light comes on briefly and then goes away.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, wait, What was that?
You don't know what it was. You don't know how to describe it.
Right. Yeah.
You bring it to the shop. They're like, I don't know.
Kevin, go ahead. The struggle is realness. Give us one.
Oh, when your phone battery dies.
I'll say when your phone battery dies and it's 8 a.m. That's even worse.
When you forgot to plug it in the night before.
Gosh. And the thing is once it dies, you know when you plug it in, you still got 8 minutes to go. Like, it's going to take its time firing up.
And I used to drive a Tesla, and I had to use my phone to start the car.
Mm-hmm.
So if the phone battery died, I wasn't able to start the car.
That's it. You just stay home. just stay home. You want me to feel bad for you?
I did do that a couple of times.
Frank, the struggle is realness. Give us one that would drive you crazy.
Wi-Fi being out and just not being able to get on the internet at all.
Anywhere you go, if the Wi-Fi is out, you feel like you're a prisoner. Enough.
You don't even know what, it's like you can't function anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I going to do? You just got to start looking around. All of a sudden you notice things that you've never seen before.
Right. God forbid you can't pull up the app of the store you're in or, you know, see that you're getting $2 off. Oh, wait, here's a reply. Or I'm walking with this carriage while scrolling through TikTok. Like, it's ridiculous, really.
Yeah, that is a struggle, though.
Hey, Nancy, the struggle is realness. What do you got?
When this school nurse calls and you have to go pick your kid up when you're in the middle of something.
Yep.
And you're always in the middle of something.
My heart stops beating when I see the school phone number pop up on my phone. Because all I keep thinking is, what happened? And is she sick? And do I have to leave work right now to go get her? And how am I going to finish my work?
How urgent it is that I leave right this minute.
Right.
There's nothing worse, too, is when you drop them off and 15 minutes later that phone is ringing.
remember?
Feel like the day is all set.
That happened
nope.
Not too long ago, remember?
Yes.
It was like, I dropped her off at school. I swear she had been in school for 7 minutes and the nurse called.
Totally.
And then I had to have the argument with my husband over who's going to leave work. And I have to be like, I'm in the middle of a show. Like, you have to go. All right, we'll determine the Elite Eight and games will kick off and you'll start to vote on Thursday. The rules of the grocery store. They're unsaid, but they exist.
I don't know what it is, but whenever I go to the grocery store and I'm picking up anything for baking, automatically people start engaging in conversation with me. And by me saying people, I mean it's usually a woman going, well, what are you baking? Immediately.
Because I know it sounds, I don't want to say sexist to say it.
A little bit sexist.
But to see a middle-aged man in a baking aisle.
Where does that come from? Why do you even got to say that? Would it make a difference if I was 25? What does my age have to do with anything?
It's just weird. You look at it, you're like, do you need help? Do you know where the vanilla is?
Does he need glasses? Can he read which aisle he's in? I mean, I'm picking up the items. I'm considering the cake mixes. I'm considering the frostings. And without a doubt, there's a woman that's going to be like, oh, what are you baking? Or you're baking something, and it's always a tone in, oh my gosh, I've just encountered a unicorn here.
Well, I kind of, out of all the times I've been to the grocery store, which is probably 3 times a week for my entire life, I can probably count on one hand how many times I've seen a man shopping for cake mixes.
I don't know what's, last time I was in an aisle, literally 3 women were talking to me in this one aisle, this baking aisle there, of various backgrounds. I wouldn't call any of them middle-aged, whatever it was. They were just talking to me about what it was I was baking. And I don't know what's funnier is the fact that it happens every single time. Like, I could set my watch to it when I'm going for baking stuff, or the fact that I immediately feel like I need to state that I'm married in the first, like, sentence of my encounter. It's like, well, I'm baking for my wife. Now, luckily, this time I was.
You're assuming every time that these women just
They're
are hitting on
me.
You. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That's definitely
Martha
it.
Stewart looking chick. I see what you're doing here.
Yep.
I know what you're doing, thirst trap.
They don't want to offer you help. They just want
right.
They can say you're hot.
What help are you going to offer me? What help are you offering me? Come on.
Oh, that's funny. And why does it bother you?
I mean, it doesn't. It's just, it's uncanny. It's funny. It doesn't necessarily bother me. It's just hilarious. It's like, okay, here I go into the baking aisle. As soon as I go to pick something up, oh, what are you doing? And again, they talk to me in a tone like I'm a child. Who are you baking for?
Because they think you're so hot.
Are you baking something? I mean, I picked up the box. I'm considering this item here. Of course.
Who is this handsome man buying chocolate chips?
It's amazing.
All right. Well, what do you think are the unsaid rules of the grocery store? Like, you walk in and you just know this is how you behave. 1-800-330-9999. Louisa.
Oh, my gosh. My number one rule is aware of my surroundings. I swear, I was ran over in the ankle with carts, and it's happened to me multiple times from the back. So pay attention, be aware of your front and your back while walking down that grocery store aisle.
Yep.
All the time.
Good one.
You know what drives me nuts is when I'm at the grocery store. If I'm the lead or my wife wants to walk sideways, like it's just too wide to walk sideways, right? So one has to be in front, one has to be in the back. Well, you have the list, and you won't share the list with me. So lead. But then if you're in front of the car, don't be dragging your feet. Like, get a few feet out there in front of me, all right? That way we're not going to have that problem. I'm just saying, plan ahead.
You ever want to have the most stressful thing? Have your kid go on the front of the car. You know how they hold on?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, she drives me crazy, my six-year-old Dakota, because she'll just jump off and abandon ship whenever she feels like it.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like a stop and go, and it's like you're going to run her over.
Oh. And you don't even know where she's going to go, too. Like, with that head start she gets, you know, the cart between you and her, like, she could be gone.
Sometimes I could launch her right into the next aisle.
See ya.
Cereal.
One of those end caps.
Yeah.
You know, where don't act like it wouldn't be fun once in a while.
Right. What are the rules of the grocery store aisle? The etiquette that everybody should follow. The unsaid rules. What are the unsaid rules of the grocery store? You're shopping, and these are the things you should just know to do and know not to do.
I want to be clear. I'm not asking anybody to not conversate. I enjoy friendly people. I do. But there's one thing that I have noticed, because I go to the grocery store to pick up things all the time. But if I go into the baking aisle, if I am getting something for baking a cake or cupcakes or anything like that, women will talk to me every time.
And it bothers him.
No, they come, it's just... It's stereotypical.
Right. Well, it's true, because we're like, what are you doing here?
I know what aisle I'm in.
Do you know the difference between the unbleached flour and the regular flour? Do you know all that?
I mean, I know these things.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying, okay. Like, you could set your watch to it. It's very comical.
What do you think? What are the unsaid rules? Anthony.
Now, it's not just a rule, but I'm going to take it a little step further. So I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I do all the baking and all the cooking. So when I go to the grocery store with the kids, not only do I get the... Oh, do you need help? But I also get the, oh, dad's babysitting today.
Yeah.
I look at people and say, so I stay at home with my kids and we bake together. What are you making today? Do you need help finding the sugar and finding? I'm like,
right. Like, no. You're a man landing on the moon. Right. Yeah.
That's exactly it. And, you know, yeah, with the kids, we're talking about how strategically they put the milk in the back corner. So you have to walk through the entire store.
That's right. So, I mean, today we covered the milk at the grocery store. Tomorrow you're going to cover no windows at casinos, right? Mm-hmm. Like you got to cover all those things, Dad. I love that. Thanks for the call.
You got it, man. My kids, every day we jump into the car, boom, throw it on the radio while we wait.
Thanks, Anthony.
You guys are awesome. Keep up the hard work.
Hi, Beatrix. You're at the grocery store. What's something that everybody should know if they're going there?
Okay, so if you happen to be going down an aisle and you see a short person, such as myself, I'm 5'2", doing the bunny hop to get to that top row, don't stand there and laugh or say it's cute. Kind of, be a good human and help.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I climb right up.
I just climb
the shelves.
Oh, yeah.
I have no shame. Listen, you put it that high, I'm 2.5. Like, I'm going up this. I'm going to climb this like a stair.
You put it that high. Like, the grocery store clerk did it personally. Like, it's every store you walk into.
Well.
I mean, they need the space.
I'm sorry. I don't know why you put your tea up there. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Right. Bob, you're going to the grocery store. There's some things that people should just know if they're going there.
Yeah. If you're online, you got a long line, you're waiting for the checkout, and the other cashier opens up, it's the next one online that gets to go, not the guy in the end.
Right, right.
Whoever makes
a good
one. The beeline.
Very annoying.
That is a good one, Bob.
The beeline person drives me crazy.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Exactly. You just dart right over.
Regina, go ahead. What do you think is the unsaid rule of the grocery store?
Okay, one thing that I really can't stand is if somebody finds somebody in an aisle that they know and they start talking and gabbing and... Like they're blocking the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
And you try to pass, but they're not paying attention to you. And they, like, literally will give you dirty looks like can't you see we're talking here? Like,
yeah, no, I just want to ram them.
Yeah.
Let's be real. let's give at least a slight bump, right?
Just pull over.
You know. And then, right, and excuse me, you know, it doesn't work anymore. And they do the same thing in the street. They jump out of their car and they're standing there talking.
Oh, one's everybody's
in
special.
The car, one's
right.
Out of the car. It's like, it's got to be the same people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have those in my neighborhood too. Thanks for the call,
Regina.
One couple.
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Progressive. Progressive Commercial Insurance can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options, an easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations. It's Josh and Michaela today. Michaela, what's going on?
My son couldn't, I mean, he could. He just, you know, slacked until the last minute and didn't find a date to his senior prom. So now he's decided that he's not going to go. And I think he'll regret it probably for the rest of his life if he doesn't go. And it's not like all of his friends aren't. They're going to be there with him. So I'm trying to talk him into it. I think he's trying to be like, oh, I'm too cool for this. And he's going to regret it.
Interesting. And Josh, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, if he doesn't want to go, he doesn't want to go. It's not that big of a deal, and it's not really our business to force him to go. I mean, maybe he's uncomfortable in large social settings, and it creates stress for him, and there's going to be other social events in his life. So I don't think it's worth creating a whole bunch of family conflict and just letting him be his own man. I don't think it's that big a deal.
Both of you went to prom?
Yes.
I did. I didn't really want to, but I thought it was like a you had to go. And honestly, if I didn't, I don't think I would have cared either.
I wonder if it's the same pressure. Back in the day, everybody went to prom. You just go to prom. Now, I feel like these dances, I guess it really depends on where you live and your town and all that. It's not the same kind of pressure like it was back then.
Well, I mean, obviously a lot has to do with how you feel about yourself. When I went to high school, prom was a big deal. The pairing was important. And we know nowadays that's not as important. I'm glad that that's the way it is. I feel like there are plenty of kids that just go with their friends, that go with a group of friends. But, you know, the thing is, if you don't go, you never know.
Michaela, is he not going because he doesn't have a date? Or did he just not ask anybody because he didn't want to go in the first place?
I think he didn't want to go in the first place, but I think he's going to regret it because I think he's using that as an excuse to not go. But then he's going to realize afterwards all of his friends went and they had a lot of fun and they won't stop talking about it. And he doesn't have anything to talk about because he's not going with them.
Can you really force your child to go to the prom if they don't want to? Or can you at least pressure them and say you're making the biggest mistake of your life?
Talk him into it. I don't want to make him feel like I'm making him go because then of course he's not going to have fun. But I really think he will if he goes.
I do know people that to this day will say, oh, I didn't get to go to prom or I didn't go to prom. And it haunts them for whatever reason.
Exactly.
You know, like who cares? I could have missed prom and probably not cared now, but maybe because I went. You know?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the thing is if you don't go, you never know, I guess. Did he go to his junior prom?
No, we didn't make him do that. And so that was the other thing. He hasn't been to any proms at all. And I'm just, you know, this is your senior one. Let's go.
Yeah.
All
right. Can you force your kid to go to prom?
Right. If your son did not want to go to his senior prom, would you encourage him and basically tell him you got to go? Or would you just back off? That's what's going on with Josh and Michaela. Mm. Michaela says he's going to regret it forever. Right now, he doesn't want to go, but he could just go with his friends, have a night out, and then he can look back and say, I went.
Yeah, but just Josh says, listen, you've already made your feelings known, right? You told our son that you'd rather that he go. We've certainly implied it a million times. He doesn't want to go. We can't make him go. We should not make him go.
Do you? Do you just keep bringing it up and keep saying you got to go? What do you think? Gina, whose side are you on?
I don't believe in forcing someone to do something they really don't want to do, but I do believe in giving them good incentives. I had that with my son. He didn't want to go to his junior prom. This was way back in the day. I bargained with him about getting him a laptop, and he went, and he was happy.
Yeah, anyway, he was happy.
Win
right.
for him.
When you said incentive,
laptop,
and I was like, what exactly is an incentive? Oh, like a car?
Immediately, I was like, bribe, right. Like, yeah. What's the level of this bribe?
And then
right.
She said, and you said laptop. And I'm like, yep, that's an incentive, right?
That'll work.
Yeah.
Right.
This was like, you know, way back, you know, when yeah. It was all kind of brand new and, you know. Like,
you know, you wanted a computer. Okay. It was a big gift. Right?
Yeah. Thanks, Gina. That's awesome. Can you force your child to go to prom? Josh and Michaela's son is a senior. He didn't go to junior prom, and now he doesn't want to go to senior prom either. And Michaela says, we have to keep bringing it up because he has to go. He doesn't have to go with a date or anything, but he's got to go with his friends.
Josh is like, what's the big deal? He made a decision. He told us he doesn't want to go. He doesn't have to go. I mean, what are you going to do anyways? Are you going to pull up with him? Are you going to drop him off at the front door? Are you going to make sure he walks in?
I mean, you could, like, as a parent, I could annoy my child long enough until they just do what I want.
They break down.
Yes, right. You can. You can. I understand where she's coming from.
It's like an interrogation. If you go long enough, the brain waves just change.
Now, is it right? That's what we're trying to figure out. Angela, whose side are you on today?
Definitely mom. My son was in the same situation, and we encouraged him. He had a fantastic time, and we really had to push him to do it, and I'm glad he did.
Did you bribe him? Pushing him is one thing. Did you bribe him?
No. No, we did not bribe him. Okay. We did not bribe him.
All right. Hey, Jim, what do you say? Yeah. Whose side are you on today?
I think the son should have his own choice. In fact, I think maybe the son's showing maturity, not doing what everybody else says you should do. It's, you know, pressure. And, you know, when I went to college, everyone in our dorm looked at you strange. You're not going out with us? We're all going somewhere. You know, it's like he's making his own choice. And I think that's a good thing. He doesn't have to do what everybody else wants to do.
Okay. Thanks for the vote. Have a great day. Anna, if everybody was jumping off a bridge and going to prom, would you jump off the bridge and jump into prom?
Yes, you know I would.
Hi, Beth. What do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on her side because my sister wasn't going to go to prom. And we forced her, and she said to this day that she's so glad that we made her. My husband didn't go to prom. The mom didn't make him go. And to this day, he regrets it. Mm. So I make my son's in the same boat, and when he's a senior, I'm forcing him to go to prom for this exact reason, because he will regret it.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Michaela, our audience agreed with you today. Give him a little pressure. Make sure. Let him know that this might be something that once he makes a decision, he can't go back on.
Thank you. Yes, I feel like I can get his friends into it, you know, like maybe they can talk him into it. But with your support, that makes me feel a little better. I felt bad making him go. And, you know, I've been trying to be nice about it, but he's definitely letting me know that he doesn't want to. And it's all me.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, if you do convince him to go, I think that it's also equally important that you say, listen, you don't have to stay, right? If you go and it's miserable and you're not having fun, you can leave. It's okay.
That is true.
Right? But just be safe and smart and provide that out. Josh, it might be uncomfortable or weird, and your son might come to you and be like, I don't know why mom's doing this. But, you know, either way, you saw that some of the votes understood that, you know, you can't talk about something that you would have skipped have you never known, have you never have gone. You know, you don't know what that experience is going to be before you get there. So,
yes, I mean, that is a good point. And there's going to be plenty of awkward or uncomfortable situations in life. So it's a good lesson to learn to just face some of these things, see what it's about. Maybe he'll end up liking it, and this will be a whole new shift in his personality.
It'll be a great night, or it could be the end of his life. We'll see. If anybody else has got an issue, you can always email us, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $400, and it is Zero to Hero week this week. It's contestants from the past that did not get a single question right against Raven, and their shot to prove to the world that they actually do know something. Albany, are you ready for your shot at redemption?
Yes.
All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room.
You got it. Good luck.
All right, Albany. Raven's going to walk out of here. That big old door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us because we're in a soundproof studio. You know all of this because you've played the game before. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Are you ready to get more than zero right?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Number one, the Freakier Friday trailer that was just released has fans super excited. How are Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis related in the movie?
Mom and daughter.
Number two, the Olympics will stay on NBC through 2036. The next Winter Games in 2026 will take place in Italy. But where will the 2028 Summer Games be held?
I don't know.
Number three, astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore are coming home today after being stranded in space for the last 9 months. Who was the first American astronaut to walk on the moon?
Neil Armstrong.
Number four, after 2 successful debuts, Conan O'Brien will return to host the Oscars next year, and Nikki Glaser will be back to host which award show?
don't know.
And number five, spring breakers got nutty in Daytona this week, and cops had to intervene when hundreds of people showed up for an impromptu beach party. What network famously hosted yearly spring break coverage, including Daytona?
MTV.
Nice job, Albany. Let me bring Raven back in.
Ew.
All right, 3 out of 5.
All right, not bad, not terrible. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
Number one, the Freakier Friday trailer that was just released had fans super excited.
Yeah.
How are Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis related in the movie?
They're mother-daughter.
Correct. Number two, the Olympics will stay on NBC through 2036. The next Winter Games in 2026 will take place in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Where will the 2028 Summer Games be held?
Is it L.A.?
L.A. is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore are coming home today after being stranded in space for the last 9 months. Who was the first American astronaut to walk on the moon?
Neil Armstrong.
You are tied at three. Number four, after two successful debuts, Conan O'Brien will return to host the Oscars next year, and Nikki Glaser will be back to host which show?
She did the Globes.
Golden Globes. And number five, spring breakers got nutty in Daytona this week. Cops had to intervene when hundreds of people showed up for an impromptu beach party.
Nice.
What network famously hosted yearly spring break coverage, including Daytona?
MTV.
MTV. I remember being a little tiny kid watching Spring Break. I had to be like five.
Yeah.
And
thinking
being like,
it was great.
When I grow up,
yep.
That's what I want to do too.
Yep. And now when you've got a 16-year-old, you're like, no way.
You're not going.
Never.
Albany, he beat you 5-3 today, but great job. You did redeem yourself. You got some right.
We'll definitely send
you another T-shirt. How's that sound?
That's okay. Thank you. This is Albany and I can't raise
him. Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $500 tomorrow, Anna.
And remember, all this week it's zero to hero, but you'll have your chance to go head-to-head against Raven to win some cash on Monday. You can sign up at annaandraven.com to play.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.